This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday. It's December 6th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. Another pathetic Sunday for New York football teams. The Giants can't score. Freddie Kitchens has not done any better. In fact, he's done worse than Jason Garrett. And the Jets, it comes out, they never once prepared for anybody but Jalen Hurts. I mean, we all knew that Jalen Hurts was a possibility. He might not play.
Yes, and then especially
they
keep, you.
Yeah, and they keep telling us, well, you know, they run the same offense. Really, Jalen Hurts has 695 rushing yards. That's not what Gardner Minshew does. So you can't tell me that you prepared for Jalen Hurts because it's an RPO option. Well, what is an RPO option if the R isn't that much of an option? So they were prepared for something that didn't happen. And two of their players came out and said it. Now, we'll talk to Robert Saleh a little bit later when we talk with him at 3:30 or 3:45, whenever he can get to us. But just awful losses for both of them. Yeah. I mean, the Jets, I guess, are supposed to lose all the time anyway, Don. The Eagles are better than the Jets. But the Giants just laid an egg in Miami.
Oh, they did. And it's... this is a coaching league. You take a look around the NFL and see how many backup quarterbacks win. Colt McCoy's 2-1 in Arizona. I know the Cardinals are good, but your backup quarterback had to play three games and you won two of them. All right? Minshew's a pretty good backup quarterback, but with their starting quarterback the week before, Jalen Hurts, they scored 7 points against the Giants. They scored 36 against the Jets a week later with a backup quarterback. I see Washington get a big win in Vegas. Desperately trying to make the playoffs with two key defenders out. All right, no Landon Collins. You know, Chase Young's out for the year. Their best defensive player. You know, and listen, we don't know what the quarterback is, but nobody is going to confuse Heineke for Brady or Rodgers or Wilson. And they're winning games. They're finding a way to win. Pittsburgh's not good. Pittsburgh's not a good football team. And yet they find ways to stay relevant, win games, stay alive in the playoffs. And the Giants and the Jets look like they are not playing in the NFL. They do not look like – when I turn on their games, it's like I'm watching Arena League or I'm watching like a college football game. They don't look like an NFL team. It's Sunday. I sit down. I watch all the games. I got the NFL Sunday ticket. And I can flip to any game. And when I flip onto the Jets and the Giants, I feel like I'm not watching NFL football. And that's because of coaching. Because you can't tell me their talent is that much better than everybody else in the league, especially the Giants, who they spent a lot of money for. Tired of hearing about, oh, this guy's hurt, that guy's – here's injuries all over the league. They're dragging guys off the field every game. And then somebody trots out that you never heard of before and runs for 30 yards or scores a touchdown or does something great. Why? Because they've got good coaching. It's a coaching league. More than any other sport, it's coaching. And when you got coaching, you got a chance to win. When you don't have coaching, you see that.
It's amazing to me. I mean, you know, throughout the baseball season, I'm sure Peter and Don, I mean, we take phone calls on it, so of course they notice. Yankee fans get furious at Aaron Boone. Where he's a glass half full guy, never rips players, ever. Joe Judge makes him look like Mr. Negativity. How did Joe Judge say, I saw a lot of great things yesterday? He had three field goals.
Yeah, he's talking out of his you-know-what.
I mean, Graham Gano's the best player on your team. And then you're gonna put lipstick on a pig, not only lipstick, but lip gloss as well, lipstick on a pig and say, I saw a lot of good things out there? He's talking about how great Kenny Golladay was? He had three catches in the first half, then got hurt. How great was he?
I mean, let's be real.
Always.
In this era, post Dan Marino, going down and getting your tail whipped in Miami is a disgrace. I'm sorry. I mean, with very few exceptions, guys, maybe a season or two that we could find an exception. I know they're better this year. They're playing okay. But it should never be excusable to go down to South Beach and just get whipped. That's embarrassing.
And they chose Glennon to be Jones's backup. They had Colt McCoy. They chose Glennon. So you had to be prepared that Jones might get hurt. He does get hurt. But then we're gonna talk to Steve Young at 5 o'clock, and I have to hear about all these available yards and how easy it is to play quarterback now. Why not for our teams? Why not for the Giants or Jets? It's painful. It's another planet. It's another world. Well, it's like I don't have the upgrade. It's like you're playing video games and you don't have the upgrade. You know, everybody else is on, you know, a PS3, and I'm playing on an Atari.
PS5 like, is the highest one.
Yeah, that's you got to get the five done.
It's you know,
good job,
kids,
Michael.
The whole world's you know, whatever. All right, but you know what? I don't even. It doesn't make sense. PS5 to PS3. It's PS5 to Nintendo. Like I don't have the buttons you have. I've got the Madden with the four plays, and you've got this all these crazy things that you can do. You can go back in time, all that stuff. You're playing games from 20 years ago. You can make trades, and I'm sitting there with Atari with all the players moving at the same time.
No, you've got the vibrating football field where the players just vibrate along the way.
Yeah, the Giants are electric football.
Right.
Or just plug it in.
Maybe it's not that bad. I got the handheld Coleco. You know, we're with the little dots. Remember that one?
And just to be fair,
always.
Does anybody know? I'm sorry, guys, unless I missed it and it's happened. Has anyone all of a sudden become sure of Tua in Miami? Is Tua some ace quarterback?
No.
They were able to move the ball and get a win with Tua yesterday against the Giants.
You know what they're doing? They're coaching for Tua. He throws quick. He gets rid of the ball quickly. Throws short passes, and they make it work. You know, there's a team that lost 7 in a row, by the way, and now they've lost 5 in a row, or they've won 5 in a row. So things can change.
Well, because things are supposed to get better, right? You make adjustments, you figure out what you have, and then you try to get better. And neither of these teams get better. I mean, specifically the Giants as a whole, Jets defensively, because I think that's where you kind of pick on the Jets. Listen, you've got a quarterback that's learning, that just missed 4 games. He looked good in the first half, just didn't have the ball in the second half. That probably took him out of his rhythm. You can live with that, right? He's only played a handful of games in the NFL. But this defense is just a joke, and it doesn't get any better. I mean, Philadelphia didn't even have to travel the punter yesterday. And then the Giants as a whole, their defense, same stuff. Can't get off the field on third down. Can't get a first down, can't hold on to the ball, no creative play. I mean, how does a coach survive, Michael, when he fires his offensive coordinator and you respond with 22 points in 2 games and 1 touchdown? Come on. Stop.
Awful. I mean, Jason Garrett must be someplace smiling right now.
Stop it. And I'm not going to sit here and be an apologist for Jason Garrett. I mean, he was not a great coach and probably did deserve to lose his job at some point. But when you do it in the middle of a season, what your coach is saying, I can do better. I can have somebody on my staff do better. Well, Freddie Kitchens can't do any better. Did worse.
Now, our weekly update on Saquon Barkley, he actually averaged 5 yards a carry. 55 yards, 11 carries. So that's easy math. But he dropped the ball out of the backfield where it was a 25-yard gain. Ian O'Connor had a great story in the Post today. I mean, this is going to be the stain. I mean, there's a lot of stains. This is going to be the stain on Dave Gettleman's record. So Barkley had that great rookie season, right, Don? Team was still 5-11. He has never been an impact player for them.
Well, it's twofold. Remember, I never liked the pick because I don't like taking running backs with the second overall pick. I don't care if they go to the Hall of Fame. So there's that. But there's also, was he deserving of being the number 2 pick overall? Does he have the talent and the skill sets in the NFL that he showed at Penn State? I see a guy that has had injuries. I see a guy that seems to shy away from contact. We can say, oh, he's just trying to look for the big play. But, you know, there are times where you just put your head down and drive for the yardage, and he's dancing around trying to find that hole. And when he finds it, he's dynamic. When he gets some room like he did against New Orleans, he can do some damage. But there's not as much room in the NFL as there is in college. So you're going to have a lot more lost plays than you're going to have these big gainers. So
yeah,
it was a bad pick all around.
It's just everything is awful. I mean, the New York Post had a great back page headline today. Nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here. They're unwatchable. Both teams are unwatchable. I mean, at least the networks are doing us a favor and putting them on at the same time.
Yeah. It used to be a rarity. Now it's
Now it happens all the time. And why shouldn't it?
And
why should the networks actually have to suffer bad ratings?
And the only reason it doesn't happen is when either the Jets or the Giants are on the coast.
Right.
Otherwise,
if
they're playing where they could play 1 o'clock games, they're going to play 1 o'clock games. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm being robbed of good football. I want to watch good football, but the Giants are my team. I've got to follow the Jets, obviously, because we know we're going to talk about them. And don't you feel like you're at a disadvantage? You're seeing highlights of all these great things happen around the league, and I'm flipping around during commercials and all that stuff, but where do I spend the majority of my time? On garbage.
Brutal. Just brutal. And we should bring up, the Jet defense was horrendous again, but Zach Wilson had a really good first half. And they had 3 touchdowns. First time in the history of the NFL that a team had 3 touchdowns and ended up with just 18 points. Their kicking game is horrendous. So they bring in a new kicker, let go of Amendola. He misses 2 extra points, forces them to go for 2. They miss that. 18 points on 3 touchdowns. Yeah. The punters were needed in the first half. And then, as Don said, I think Wilson got out of a groove because it was almost an hour of running time, real time, that they didn't touch the football.
Yeah, he had 3 plays in the third quarter.
3 plays in the third quarter. They couldn't stop Gardner Minshew. Couldn't stop him. And they didn't like the calls that the officials looked a little sketchy. And that's the first time I've ever seen Robert Saleh completely lose it.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody can complain about him not being animated on the sidelines yesterday.
Just awful. I mean, it's hard to watch.
But at least, like you said, at least a Jet fan can look at the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. So forget about what the final score is. Forget about whether they won or lost. It's just, is this quarterback got something? And what I saw from Zach Wilson is a lot of what I saw in the beginning of the year. You know, he put a good half together. You saw some signs, and you felt pretty good about what you saw in the first half. And like a kid getting taken out of his rhythm in the second half, couldn't muster it back up. But, you know, the defense is not giving him a chance to win, guys. And this is what Robert Saleh's about. He's a defensive guy. And the defense just can't stop anybody.
They didn't look good at all. And now let's talk about the elephant in the room. I believe that this Monday night football game tonight will decide who's going to win the pick segment on this show.
What? Wow.
I believe that if Peter has the Bills, and if they cover for him, he's got a 5-point lead with, you know, weeks just to go. And I think he's going to run away with it. Now, if he loses, then it's very, very tight. And, you know, Don, it's just his year. Because we look like we had a push on Raiders and the Washington football team, and then a last-second field goal. I mean, it's just sickening.
No,
I mean,
It wasn't last-second field goals.
Not where you should be upset, Michael. That's not where you should be foaming at the mouth.
Tell
it
me where.
It is the non-pass interference that would have set them up for a game-winning field goal that wasn't called.
That was a great no-call. You can't call that.
I'm going to give you that. Well, don't say can't.
He shouldn't call it.
He's holding his jersey for 10 yards, Peter. Come on.
I mean,
I understand.
I'm sorry.
See, you're looking at the wrong thing. People that defend it, I'm not looking at him chopping down to the ball on his shoulders when the ball was coming down.
No.
I'm talking about him holding his jersey for 10 yards on the route.
I have to watch it again to see if he held it for 10 yards. I don't recall that.
Oh, so if it's 8, it's okay. Just as long as you get the points.
If the Raiders receiver is also initiating contact, he's reaching back into him, he pulls on his jersey. Yeah, he did give his jersey a tug the way defensive backs do all the time. But it's tough. I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to be such a fanboy to say it would be a ridiculous call. It wouldn't have been a ridiculous call. And the bottom line is you can't let the man get by you, and he did let him get by him. At the same time, he did a great job looking back to play the ball, and as a result, didn't get the penalty. How many times have we seen them call it because the guy doesn't look back? He looked back and played the ball, and they didn't call it.
Wow, what you've become is sickening.
But
and also,
Washington credit, they
what
get
a
the
field
ball,
goal,
they
Don.
Drive, they get the field goal, and leave and them almost no time to answer.
And a field goal from a kid, it was his first kick as a player on the team. We lost the other kicker on Monday. They just signed this kid this week, and he comes in.
He was a kid. Yeah, just a baby.
A 48-yard field goal is his first field goal attempt with the team to win the game.
And also, I've got to be honest, because we're always honest, and we expose our real life, okay? I essentially quit the pick segment. When Jalen Hurts was done. I said, that's it. I'll just take my punishment. I can't take Yanks anymore. And then Gardner Minshew ended up being better than Jalen Hurts would have been anyway. But it's just so hard to pick on a Friday. You'd never make your pick on a Friday. You never would, especially with a quarterback that's up in the air. It's disgraceful.
I didn't really get crazy on the text thread because you're such a baby.
I am a child.
No, because it's really not that big of a deal. I mean, Minshew's played in this league a while. All
the
right.
difference
Hurts
between
was
Hurts
awful
and Minshew.
The week before.
You don't even know who's better between the two of them.
Right. I mean, it's negligible.
I know Minshew can't run. I guess the Jets don't realize that.
But the thing, Michael, you made it seem like that, you know, Brady was out of the game.
Yeah, I'm done.
No,
I mean,
Jalen Hurts, at this particular point, the way Jalen played the week before, you know, it probably was an upgrade that the situation he's in. And then the person that really calmed everything down was Andrew saying, oh, come on, it's not that big of a deal, and he ended up being right.
Yeah, well, I just can't take the aggravation anymore.
No, but that's the fact.
No, I can't.
You're accentuating that particular moment, but you allow your Sundays to be ruined, and I'm not sure why.
You do too. You're a liar. You do
no,
too.
No, Peter. Consumes us. It doesn't ruin it. I spend a lot of time rooting for those games.
Yeah,
but I'm not killing my. Once I realize I'm losing, I go, all right, well, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? I mean, it was the kid's birthday. I mean, we're having a good time. I'm not gonna let it ruin me. Do I want to do well? Do I get aggravated when I lose?
And
do
meanwhile,
I find myself watching games not based on entertainment, but because it's my pick or your pick or Peter's pick. Sure, I'm not gonna let it ruin my weekend and ruin my life.
And Don's going on 2 years. He's basically being in last place the whole time.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's comfortable there. I'm not.
Okay. You spent 15 years before that.
There were only two of us, okay?
Still in last. And
you
Don, by the way.
You keep it up. When my Patriots beat your Bills today, then you're done.
Oh, you know what? You didn't even have the cojones to go with them tonight.
No,
instead,
I didn't.
You went with the Raiders. I didn't know why either of you went with the Raiders. I mean, I know short
Come
week.
On,
besides
you can't
short week,
say
for
that was a bad pick when
that was
it
a
was
great
really
pick.
No.
I'll do it again.
All right, make it again.
Hey, it's you're picking a winner.
Pick them.
They had a chance with a 2-point conversion to tie. I mean, that was a back and forth game that could have went either way. You don't hang on the rim for picking Washington.
Wait. I'm not hanging on the rim. I just didn't know why you guys.
You also didn't know why we picked the Lions. How'd that work? Or why,
what do you mean? Hold on, I didn't say that. I supported the Lions pick for.
Yeah, but you didn't. You didn't love the pick as a team pick.
And
Gabe Rothenberg said he'd like to bet real life against us. We should have, because that would have sent him into the downward spiral of gambling again that he can't handle.
Humble in that show. And the other thing, too, I got a lot of abuse on Twitter for picking the Rams.
Oh, what a pick that was.
Come at me, bro. That pick had a handle on. I just picked it up and took my 3 points.
You can sniff my socks.
That Ram pick is repugnant.
No, that's why I was giving you a hard time, Don, for the Raiders pick, because your Steelers and Rams picks were gorgeous. That's why. If you just picked anything, there were a few other ones. By the way, Ballard came at me on Friday. Hey, bro, terrible pick with the Chargers. Terrible. Their defense cannot stop Joe Mixon. Have
Ballard.
A look out for me, pal.
And
why
I love.
Why you listen to Ballard? Really?
I didn't.
And as much as I hated the Ravens going for two, somebody still got to explain it to me.
Well, he
again,
explained it today. He had no cornerbacks. One guy's out for
I
the
loved
year.
It. He I loved
no,
it.
He said he had to win the game right there.
But at
I agree.
The time, it's all everybody's like, "Oh, I love." Why do you love it? Why?
I didn't understand Romo going, "I love it."
Well,
he didn't know
Romo,
the guys.
Can we just be honest?
It's stupidity.
There's nothing. There's nothing on the face of the planet more overrated than him. Okay.
Oh my
I'm not
goodness!
Saying
now
he's
going
bad.
After Romo.
No.
This is
no.
big.
See,
this is how we start on a Monday.
Overrated. Everybody thinks overrated means stinks. He's obviously very good at what he does, but he's not the best at it, and he doesn't deserve $18 million a year. Stop it. Okay. Give me a break. There's so many. Aikman's better than he is. Stop it. All right. Oh, his hums and hums. But everybody's not just him. Oh, I love it. Love it. Why? I love when you go for it, man. Be aggressive. Why? Listen, we don't know all the details, but going into that particular moment, why would you put the game on the line on
it's
one
stupidity.
Play?
It's stupidity. And they did not know about that they didn't have cornerbacks. They didn't know that. So my point is this. It's a dumb play. You're the better team. You've got the momentum. You've got the better quarterback.
But
what are you doing?
They didn't have the momentum. In the second half, they didn't.
But they scored.
But they just scored.
They just scored, Peter.
Okay, they just scored. But if they're giving the ball right back to Pittsburgh, they're worried that they can't stop them. And right here that you figure we're at the 1-inch yard line. the 2 yard line. And we feel confident that with Lamar Jackson, we can get something. And guess what? They did. He just put the throw in the wrong place.
Right, because it comes down to one play, so one mistake ends it. Yeah, unless you give up a kick return to start overtime, you've got options. Things can happen. You could win the toss, and you could march down the field and score a touchdown, and it doesn't matter you don't have any corners. So I don't understand why you have it come down to one play. But either way, it worked out for me because the last thing I needed was overtime, and then the score a touchdown, and then I would have lost that game.
Yeah, you
so
should
I was happy
thrilled.
They went for two.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. I was thinking the same thing. I was astonished they were going for two. I said, go for one so Don could lose. These are the things that goes through my head.
Right. I like cubes.
No, me too.
You like
it
cubes?
It might make it very difficult, honestly. Like, you know, you look at Carlin doing the Jets-Eagles game. We got to try to get some highlights from that.
Yeah, I need that. I need that.
Is that, I don't know, at this stage with the picks, like the way I do the Rangers, if I did a football team, I think it would leak into the broadcast. I'd probably be talking about the spread all the time. I might actually be mentioning, you can't go for two here because Michael might win the picks. Like
we have a Carlin highlight. We have a Carlin highlight.
Good.
All right, here it is.
The Jets go for it here and firing in the back of the end zone is Zach Wilson to hit Elijah Moore for the Jets touchdown. They went hurry up on the offense. It is a 3 yard touchdown strike from Wilson, and that was right in the breadbasket of Elijah Moore.
And he also three times,
yeah.
Target?
That's wow, impressive. That's yeah. Talent.
He sent out a very warm tweet. Did you see that? That his 25 years was his dream to call an NFL game.
And I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he got to do it yesterday, so I can hang it up.
Who did he
call
it with?
We used to be very close, but I'm still happy for him.
Who was his who was on the caller there? Caller commentary.
Well, it didn't matter because he described it so well. He left the analyst nothing to say. Well, who was it? You mentioned it Friday.
I know. I can't remember.
You're going to rip him for no reason like that?
Let me see if I have it here. Well, you know, Don's not very high on him.
Well, but has he ever ripped Kelly Stauffer?
Kelly Stauffer, okay.
The former quarterback of the Cards, I think.
Okay.
They become very good friends. They went out of wings after what I heard.
Is that true?
Yep. 1-800-919-3776. And by the way, all we're doing is killing New York football right now, but the real New York football team, NYCFC, they're going to the MLS Cup.
There
with
you
a
go.
Big win over the Philadelphia Union. First time in their history, and that'll be Saturday. It's going to be on our mother station, ABC. Andrew has all the details. But how about the Union? They had 11 people on COVID protocol.
Wow.
So congratulations to NYCFC. And Yes is going to have specials every single day right after our show starting at 7 o'clock on NYCFC going to the MLS Cup. They'll face Portland, Don's favorite team, on Saturday. Why is Portland your favorite team?
I'll never say, but when I'm there.
Yeah.
They love their soccer team. I mean, love.
You think the NYCFC is going to be scared?
No, I'm just saying that it's very popular there. Like, yeah, it's up there. They're right there with the Blazers.
Hey, Anthony Greek just sent me this this text about how bad the Giants have been. So the Giants surrendered a touchdown with 26 seconds remaining in the first half. This is amazing to me. They've now been outscored 52-0 in the final 2 minutes of the first half this season. 52-0.
You can't make it.
Holy
up.
Crap.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't want to get into the same debate we do always, because I'm with you. I think he's definitely coming back. But if this was year three instead of year two, I mean, like, everything is pointing to
see ya!
This being a major coaching problem. I'm sorry. There's nothing other than you can't fire another coach after 2 years. There's nothing else you can say positive about his abilities as a coach. Nothing.
Also, congratulations to my former broadcast partner, Jim Cott.
Yes.
Gets into the Hall of Fame. That was kind of surprising. Everybody kept talking about Gil Hodges, and congratulations to the Hodges family, Gil's two children, and his lovely wife. I know that this is something that means a lot to the Hodges family. So Gil Hodges is in the Hall of Fame. Minnie Minoso, Buck O'Neill also got in. But Dick Allen missed by one vote.
Yeah, and he's got to wait another 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that stopped it from being perfect. I saw Ken Rosenthal tweet that out. Then that would have put it over the top. But, I mean, we've seen – I remember how long it took for, you know, Phil Rizzuto to get in.
But this Gil Hodges thing has been such a
35
years.
For 35 years. Yeah.
And I'm so glad that his wife's still alive to celebrate it. She's 95.
And she's such a great lady, Joan Hodges. She really is.
And I guess next up is Munson, right? I guess that could be the next local guy that people will try to rally around to get in.
I think Lou Piniella as well.
But Munson more so, I think.
Yeah. Right? But I think they both have a chance. There's different committee names that, you know, that's why Munson and Piniella weren't in this group. But I think they will be in the next group. So I'm not quite sure when they go. Mm-hmm. But the ones, you know, Jim Cott, again, 200. I saw a stat, and I'm just going to round it off. Like he had 152. I'm rounding it off, so please don't jump me if I'm wrong. 152 quality starts, Don, where he pitched six or more innings.
Right.
Where he gave up three or fewer runs. And his record in those starts was like 0-92. Think about that.
Yeah, never had great teams.
And he had 17. He was 17 away from 300. I think he had given up hope on being. I mean, he probably deserved to get in as a broadcaster, too.
Yeah.
But I'm glad for him. I'm very, very happy for him. Anyway, we have a lot to do. We'll take your phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. The K Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll have Robert Saleh on in the next half hour right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We got a beauty tonight on Monday Night Football. The Patriots are in Buffalo to meet the Bills. So that'll start at 8:15. The Madden cast is on ESPN2. Monday Night Football is on ESPN. David Letterman is part of the Madden cast, so that'll be interesting. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish Whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Also, Scott Zolak is up there as part of the Patriots crew. He said he's been coming to Buffalo for 30 years. He's never seen wind gusts like this. So I wonder who that affects more. I would probably think it would be the Bills, because Allen throws the ball more and deeper.
And the whole season's been based on not giving Jones too much that he can't handle. So I would think that affects the Bills a lot more. But that's the thing, right? Never mind. Snow, cold, the wind is really what's going to probably bring that point spread down quite a bit, or at least the over.
And more bad news for the Jets. Corey Davis, who they signed to a three-year, $37.5 million deal with $27 million guaranteed. He is out for the rest of the year with core muscle surgery. Season is over.
Damn.
That's finished with good. 34 catches, 492 yards, and 4 TDs in 9 games.
That stinks.
Now,
again, that's one of the things you want to keep an eye on over the final stretch of the season, is just seeing who these young kids turn into.
Yeah, and it's things when they don't play.
Yeah, lose the development.
Was I the only one, too, because of the uniform combinations, that it would take a second when I was flipping around to decipher which one was the Jets and which was the Eagles?
You were not the only one. I felt the same way.
Yeah, just because, I mean, obviously, when you start to look at it, you can see the logo and all that, but, you know, the black pants, like when the Eagles uniform, the Jets have worn that combination before, so it was kind of creepy. It was
weird. Fortunately, as the game went on, it got easier, because if a good play happened, you knew it was the Eagles,
right.
And if a bad play happened, you knew it was the Jets.
But in the beginning, it was back and forth.
It was back and forth.
Neither
so you
defense
had no idea.
Played in the first half.
By the way, a regular listener to the show, Luis Gonzalez, very angry at me on Twitter.
Also got that big hit against Mariano Rivera in the 2001 World Series.
You won by luck, so shut up. Your team still stinks.
Oh. That's not right.
That's just
Who's his team? I want to know who his team is.
Well, it feels like the Raiders based on that. He said, you pick horrible. You just got lucky because the Raiders are far better, but with no Waller. Okay.
He brings up salient points.
What is luck in the NFL, guys? All you can do is, everyone has luck go their way sometimes and not the other times, and you just see where you land, right? That we've won 4 straight. It's okay.
Sometimes luck is in the eye of the beholder. Sometimes luck be a lady tonight. It really can go anyway.
But luck is the residue of design.
There you go.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. And, you know, since we have Robert Sala coming on in the next segment, why don't we go to Tessa in West Caldwell? She must not be happy with the Giant performance. Tessa?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks so much for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm a lot calmer than I was, you know, the past few weeks. But I just had a question. First of all, you know what, Peter? Who cares about y'all winning fourth straight? You're still trash. You're still never going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're not. I don't care. I'm very salty today. So, you know, I don't really say nothing to you about being a Washington fan. But, you know, I can't stand anybody in our conference. So, who cares you won fourth straight? Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
No way to go. Okay.
And you can root for us to beat Dallas next week. How about that? Come on.
Moving forward. I'm just saying, who cares? You and Dallas, you're never going anywhere, whatever. But anyway, Don, my question is this. Why do you think, first of all, we're trash. You know, it was so embarrassing I had to turn the game off. Why do you feel, Don, that you really feel like Joe Judge is definitely coming back in year three? Because my question is this. He obviously can't coach. And every post game, it's like he's trying to teach us. It's like all his answers are from the dictionary. It's like he has to feel like I have to sound smart. I have to say these scripted answers. He makes me so sick. He
well, Tessa, don't get me wrong. Tessa, I'm not. If you've listened to me, I've said they had to go in the last seven games 4-3 for me to even consider bringing him back. And so far, they're 1-1 in that span. I'm not a fan. He's losing me every game. I'm just reading the tea leaves. I'm going by what Michael's source said. I'm going by what Jordan Ronan said. I've talked to some people. The indication around the NFL is he is coming back. So I'm not saying he deserves to, but everybody seems to be saying he's going to be given a third year.
Because the Giants just don't want to go for it the way they need to, the way they need to clean house. They got to still just do the Giants way, and we got to give them another year. Do you think that's what it mainly is?
But Tessa, they've cleaned house two previous times. They got rid of McAdoo. They got rid of Shermer. You can't keep cleaning house.
Well, listen, I think you can until you get it clean.
You can. You can, Michael, until you can get it right, because obviously this is not right.
But the people that are picking the coaches, they obviously have a different
take.
I do too, but they obviously have a bad way of picking coaches. They're not getting it right. They haven't gotten it right.
They need another GM and give it to the GM. Like, what's wrong with Lewis Reddick? I think he's very intelligent. He has a sound mind for football. Just somebody new and fresh in there. Let him. So then we can all blame him if it doesn't work out. But if this is the freaking owner's fault. But get somebody new in there, because what they're doing these past couple. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, it's like I'm just popping Tums every day. Tums and Tylenol rapid releases, because I get headaches and stomach aches with my team. Like, this is disgusting. But Joe Judge is not the answer. I'm sorry, he's not. And I used to always say, maybe one more season, the O-line's trash, everything, da da da. But no, every time he talks, I'm like, what? The players show progress? Really? What progress? What do you see besides trash?
Yeah,
nobody
sees
all your players under the bus. But just keep it real with us. Stop feeding us this hoopla.
Well, Tessa, that's ultimately, if you guys remember back to that that first day, Andrew, I wonder if you have the audio. The first day we talked about Joe Judge, and I went off and I was like, this guy is nothing but cliches. This is nonsense. He's not actually saying anything. Then he sort of turned us around because we saw more of his personality. But now, guys, with them playing badly, it's kind of back to that again. Just feeding cliches.
Or is it just, guys, he understands that it's all on him now, and he's trying to spin that whole, well, you can't see it the way I see it. You don't judge it the way I judge it. You know, I know more football than you, so I can see the progress. You don't know. You're on the outside. But I see it. I made the right decision. I had to get rid of Jason Garrett. You're not seeing it, but believe me, it's there. I'm sorry. I just go by points. You know, I mean, you score 9 points. I don't care what you see. It should show up on the scoreboard because that's what counts.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. We have Robert Sala, the Jets head coach, coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned for that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The Giants and the Jets look like they are not playing in the NFL. When I turn on their games, it's like I'm watching Arena League. It's Sunday, I sit down, and I can flip to any game. And when I flip onto the Jets and the Giants, I feel like I'm not watching NFL football. And that's because of coaching. Because you can't tell me their talent is that much better than everybody else in the league, especially the Giants, who they spent a lot of money for. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, this guy's hurt, that guy's... There's injuries all over the league. They're dragging guys off the field every game. And then somebody trots out that you never heard of before and runs for 30 yards or scores a touchdown or does something great. Why? Because they've got good coaching. It's a coaching league more than any other sport. And when you got coaching, you got a chance to win. When you don't have coaching, you see that.
The Michael K. Show.
I'm sitting there with Atari with all the players moving at the same time.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, the statistics are amazing. The Jets are one loss away from another losing season. They will not make the playoffs this year. That's 11 years in a row in a league where, I mean, by accident, you're going to make the playoffs. 11 years in a row without making the playoffs. And the Giants are almost as bad, except for the 1 year with the boat trip. They haven't made the playoffs in forever. And it just goes on and on. And the thing that bothers me, you know, these rebuilds take a long time. Well, let's take a look at what's happening tonight. The New England Patriots were awful last year. They were awful. They had Cam Newton as their quarterback who did not play well. And what happened? They turned it around in 1 year. You have the best record in the AFC now? Why can that organization do it? Well, I know Bill Belichick's the greatest of all time, but it can be done without an 11-year drought. And with the Giants, it's 5 years and then another five before that and the one in the middle. Why is it so tough for the New York teams to get out of their own way? In New England, they snapped their fingers and they turned it around in 1 year.
It's coaching. That's the difference. And also, Michael, let's not give the Giants an out of their in this five-year rebuild. No, that's BS. They're not in a five-year rebuild. Because they went to the playoffs in 2016. Were they rebuilding in the second year of McAdoo in 17?
No, they just fell apart.
They weren't. They completely fell apart. McAdoo got fired. So what did they do after that? Well, then they started, they bring in Gettleman, and Gettleman drafts Barkley, and they spend all the money on Nate Solder at the time, the highest paid left tackle in the history of football. They were all in that year. That's a second year of we think we're going to be able to make the playoffs. We think we're going to get one more championship out of Eli Manning. Completely fall on their face. What a 3-win season. And then this year, second year of Joe Judge. Let's invest in the offense. Let's get him some weapons. Let's spend a ton of money. Let's draft a wide receiver in the first round. This was no rebuild going into 2021. They was destination playoffs. Improve on the 6-10 season. Fail again. So in the 5 years they're going to miss the playoffs, Michael, in three of those five, they thought they were a playoff team. They thought they were good enough to compete and not even come close. It's one thing you're in a five-year rebuild and it's a slow burn. No. Three of the 5 years, they actually legitimately looked in the mirror and said, we're good enough to make the playoffs, and then fall flat on their face.
And as for the Jets, one mistake after the next. Now, I don't know if Peter – sees this with Bear. Bear's an older dog, but, you know, my dog Butter, right? Occasionally during the night, you know, watching TV and you see her, she's literally chasing her own tail. And I keep thinking when I see her do it, I go, Jets. I mean, they're chasing their own tail. They can't get out of their own way. Everything they do is wrong.
Right. But
I hope that stops with Robert Saleh, but it remains to be seen. They certainly have not improved.
Now, the Jets' problem has been, first year of Todd Bowles, go 10-6, almost make the playoffs. So clearly, going into the next season, which was 16, they felt like they were good enough. And then they weren't, and then you change general managers, and you change coaches again, and then you do it another time after that. You know, you go from Idzik to McCagnon to now to Douglas, and you change coaches along the way. The Jets' problem is they get into these rebuilds and then keep hitting the reset button. Well, doesn't work. Try again. Try doesn't work. You know, so at least they weren't delusional enough to think at any of those times when they looked in the mirror, maybe in 2016, that, hey, we're good enough to make the playoffs.
But terrible is not an accident. Terrible in anything is not an accident, because the Jets will never get out from under the fact that they had all that cap room. It was all celebrated by all that cap room they had. and they let Maccagnan spend it and then fired him. How is that even thinkable? How could you allow that to happen? It's like Phil Jackson getting to make the first-round draft pick for the Knicks and getting fired a week later. That doesn't make sense. Again, terrible is not an accident. Terrible is a disease. You've got a cure to disease. And one other thing. I know this is not going to make me popular in the company. Atessa mentioned it. Peter mentioned it. Listen, how do we know Lewis Riddick would be a good GM? Because he knows football? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he could be a great GM, but that's the guy that where he's got. It's got to be him. Lewis Riddick has got to be the Giant GM. Why?
Well,
why not Dan Orlovsky?
Well, Riddick is someone who comes from front offices and then has since been speculated about going back for a major job since.
And has interviewed for the job with the Giants.
I get it, but he hasn't gotten it. So, I mean, but we're going to put all of our eggs in the Lewis Riddick basket?
Well, but hold on. The reason this is, you can't knock people for wanting to go with a candidate who's familiar to them.
Right.
Who's clearly knowledgeable and a poised guy just from listening to him talk.
Doesn't mean he'd be a good GM.
No, it doesn't. But what else are people going on? The guy they have now has done nothing. And the second they heard him, they probably thought, listen, I know this is silly. I always said from the very beginning, Gettleman better be the best GM ever with the way he sounds. He literally sounds like he walked out of a Red Sox game. If you're not the greatest GM in history, New York fans are going to be done with you. It might be silly.
As healthy as a hoss.
It might be silly, but it's reality. And on the flip side of that coin, why would people not be intrigued by Riddick, whose name they hear floated, knows he interviewed, and they see him on TV and think he's good? It makes sense. It may not be the best hire, but it couldn't be worse than Gettleman.
We are the Giants. We're going to do everything with class.
Thank you.
But you know,
I've tried in the past.
And he interviewed with the Giants, right?
Yeah, he didn't get it.
He didn't get it, and who got it?
This guy.
Right, and this guy's not any good. So, and obviously the selection process has not worked. So the guy they let walk out the door, I think, had a chance to be a better option than the guy they decided to keep and that were blown away by. Same thing with coaches. But I can't get on fans, Michael, because one thing – it's one thing to speculate about coaches, right? But general managers, there's only a few that people, like, even know. They're not as out there.
I get it. But, again, listen, people can speculate all they want. Peter hit it on the nose. This is a guy who's known. He's on Monday Night Football. I get it. But that's the guy we're aiming for? We don't know. We don't know if he'd be good.
Well, the problem is that right now, who is, like, the Mike Holmgren?
Have no idea.
Who is the, you know, Bill Parcells 20 years ago? Like, who's the guy that you can look at and say, I want to bring him and turn this whole thing around? Like, I don't know if that person really exists, or if he does, I don't know if he's...
He exists. Good teams know who those guys are.
Well, what I'm saying is that, right, they should know, and clearly the Giants don't know because either they're completely swinging and missing or they're limiting their chances because it has to be somebody tied to the organization who used to work here the Giants way and all that. But from a fan standpoint, you know, back a bunch of years ago, it was go out and get Mike Holmgren. Go out and get Bill Parcells. But, Bill's older now, doesn't want to do it. You know, is Mike Tannenbaum that guy? Is Lewis Riddick that guy? You know, I guess Mike Holmgren, what's he even doing now? You know, so now you got to try to figure out who that next great guy is. You know how hard it is with coaches, so it's even harder with general managers. But that's what you have to do. Other than trying to pry Belichick away from New England, you know, where are they going to find this guy? And are they equipped to find it?
That's the key. I don't know if they're equipped. They have a certain brainwave that takes them to a certain sort of GM.
Well, I wish they would just get out of that whole thing, because when they have broke from that mold, like I've said a bunch of times, George Young was not a Giant guy. Ernie Accorsi was not a Giant guy. Those are guys that had success elsewhere. So get out of that whole mold and go out and find the next Ernie Accorsi, the next George Young.
But you know what brings them back? Jerry Reese was a Giant guy, and he won two Super Bowls. You could say it's all Ernie Accorsi's team, but he made additions too.
Yeah, but he made additions. But for the most part, who won those Super Bowls for the Giants? They were all drafted by Accorsi for the most part. And then when it started to morph into Jerry Reese's team, what happened? And then he ended up getting fired. So, yeah, I can't take those Super Bowls away from him. He was the general manager. But the players that made that happen, that made those championships happen, were Ernie Accorsi draft picks for the most part. So those are the two big guys. So they went outside the organization then. And I blame John for this because John's kind of caught in the whole past. You know, and Wellington was too, but Wellington was willing to or forced to by somebody else, and this is where maybe Tisch has to step in and say, we've got to break this whole mold of the Giants way. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for over a decade. We're whiffing way too many times on draft picks, on free agents. We're getting it all wrong with our coaches. We got to find somebody else. We got to think of a different way of doing it. Because right now you're the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, there's
Nobody
not
cares
that much
about
difference.
Your rings.
There's not that much difference. You're right. Want to read a tweet because some people just get it about the show. They just get it.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is from Mark Epstein, Mark with a C. LeGrec's been neutered. He doesn't even get mad at a Giants loss. Kay would talk baseball 24/7, and I would bet my paycheck he didn't spend 8 hours watching the NFL like the rest of us did. And
what?
Peter's the only real football fan on the show. Wow, Mark, you just know the show, babe. You just get it.
I wish I
didn't spend 8 hours watching that trash yesterday.
Don, do you understand?
Well, there has been this thing with me that I'm known for my rant. So after every Giant loss, I'll get a bunch of tweets. Can't wait to hear Don tomorrow's head explode. Well, this isn't Scanners, all right? How many times can a person's head explode? It's been going on for 5 years. I'm numb to it now. I'm sorry. It's the same thing. What am I supposed to, every Monday, just repeat the monologue from the week before? It never changes. It's always the same garbage. So they set this precedent where I'm supposed to explode every single time the Giants lose. Peter, how ridiculous would it be after 5 years? Come on.
Your head can only explode once. Can't explode every time. Again, words matter. So the man with ESPN tweets, hey, Michael, come on, stop yourself. Dan Orlovsky is the Giant GM. Michael, I love you, but take a walk, buddy. Did I say Dan Orlovsky should be the Giant GM?
Yes, you did.
No, I was joking. I said, I just picked an ESPN person. I could say another one. Let's make Rex Ryan. Did you get it, the man from ESPN or whatever the name is? You get it, what I was doing?
No.
Just can't pick an ESPN personality and say, let's make them the GM. I didn't say Dan Orlovsky should be the GM. I just said if you're going to pick Lewis Riddick, why not Dan Orlovsky?
But that doesn't make sense.
Why not Ryan Clark?
But it was a terrible take by you, and they're just picking
it
apart.
It's not a terrible
take.
Because
Ryan Clark is not the same. I mean, Lewis Riddick is not the same as Ryan or Dan. He's an actual GM candidate who's had positions in offices before and was up for jobs.
And hasn't gotten them.
It doesn't. But, Don, will you help me here? What's he missing?
He had worked for the Washington organization, so he's been in close to that position. He's interviewed for it. He wants it. I don't know what Dan Orlovsky wants to do. You're not just taking Lewis Riddick as a football personality and say, let's make him the GM. I mean, he's a legitimate candidate. The next general manager position that opens, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and runs and interviews for it.
Yeah.
And if the Giants position becomes open, I'm sure he's going to be a candidate again. So it's not just taking just a flyer on a guy. He is a legit candidate
to be a general manager
in this league.
The same people, okay, that interviewed Lewis, the same people interviewed him seriously, right? And he desperately wanted the job. They picked a guy who can't get out of his own way instead. Now they're going to see the light. Now all of a sudden it's going to be crystal clear to Mara and Tisch. You know what? We were wrong. It's Lewis Riddick instead of Dave Gettleman.
But isn't it possible? Well, you can't just stop, hoping and being logical about it.
According to Michael's theory that I've been out hearing over the last couple of weeks, Don, because the Giants are the one in charge, they just need to give up and lay down and accept being bad forever because it's always going to be them that's making the decision.
I'm not saying that, Peter. I'm just saying what would lead you to believe that their thought process would change? It hasn't for 20 years.
But it could. Maybe Tisch puts his foot down and says, enough, John. I know that you're the first family of football. I know your dad was an amazing person to put the NFL on the map. But you know what? I'm a half owner of this team, too. I want to have more of a football say. I want to be able to bring some people in. And if they have no connection with the Giants, maybe hiring them. Gettleman's big claim to fame was he had worked here before.
Ralph Occhiano reporting that Giants guard Wes Martin and Giants quarterback coach Jerry Schaplinski have both tested positive for COVID, according to Giants coach Joe Judge. So
Riddick's history, by the way, is pro scout, for Washington for 4 years, then became director of pro personnel, and then did the same path with the Eagles from 2008 to 2010. So he's been in the division twice in a fairly high-level office position.
And has not been in a front office, if I saw that same thing, in 11 years.
Yeah.
Been a broadcaster for 11 years.
It's not like he's not around the game.
Yeah, and he's been interviewing for positions. Hey, again, I don't know what kind of candidate he would be. He can't be worse than what they've had. But at least it would show me they're thinking outside the box. They're trying to go for somebody that isn't tied to this Giants organization for some way. And I know, listen, that happens all the time, right? You hire the people you know. But maybe it's time to start hiring the people you don't know and trying to see a little bit more into the future instead of relying on this Giants way that has led you astray for over a decade.
Somebody just pulled this up from USA Today, okay? Lewis Riddick said that when he interviewed with the Giants to replace Jerry Reese, nearly got the job, he said that he would have selected Saquon Barkley with the number two pick. I'd probably go with Barkley. I have a feeling there's a strong, strong sentiment within that building for Saquon Barkley based on my experience there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so isn't that him saying that if he wanted the job, he was probably going to have to draft Barkley too because it came from above?
Well, he didn't get the job, so why would he say I'd probably go with Barkley? He didn't get the job. So he said he acknowledged exactly what he would have done and what he believes the Giants should do in round one, take Saquon Barkley.
Well, listen, I would disagree with that pick. I did at the time. I don't know if that means that he would be an awful general manager.
I'm not saying he would. And I don't want to be looked at as being negative about Lewis Riddick. I'm just saying people have locked in on Lewis Riddick.
But I give Tessa and those people credit because who are you locked in on? I think the old sports talk though is always fire that guy. Well, if you're going to fire him, who are you going to hire? Hamina, 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 hamina. Well, so people are trying to figure out, who would you hire? Because I don't know. I mean, I love football. Do I have a laundry list of people that would be a great candidate to replace Gettleman? I mean, do we know all these general managers? Do we know who all these player personnel directors are? No. But there's one guy that we do know. We know a guy that we like and we respect and that interviewed for the job and has worked before, and that's Lewis Riddick. So they're throwing a name out they know.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll take your phone calls when we get back. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Oh, the Nets might have some hope. They lost to the Bulls again over the weekend, another good team that beat them. But I don't know how many of you have seen the story by Scoop B.
Oh, yeah.
Of Bally Sports. There could be some hope on the horizon. Kyrie Irving has told friends, it's never quoted Kyrie, has told friends that he doesn't really trust the vaccine that's out there. He's waiting for the plant-based version of it because he's on a plant-based diet, and You know, I looked it up when I read this, and I guess a lot of vaccines have animal products in them of some sort. So he wants the plant-based one, and it supposedly is one that's in the pipeline that could be approved at some point. So I guess the vaccine that's out there that all of his teammates have taken, he doesn't trust that one. And there was another part of the story. I wonder if this jumped out at you, Don. According to friends, again, not Kyrie, he's never been happier in his life.
Yes. That's what, like...
Wow.
Kind of jumped out at you, right?
Read it. Like, that really jumped out at me. So I... You know, can we just admit, and I could be dead wrong about this, you guys know a lot more than I do when it comes to, you know, following the day in, day out of basketball. This whole, you know, he loves the game. You kind of say that as just to kind of get it, you know, him off your back.
Right. Like,
do we really know that for a fact?
Yeah, because how could this be the happiest he's ever been?
It's a safe thing to say, so it doesn't seem like you're attacking him on not caring. But, like, honestly, does the evidence point to him absolutely loving basketball? I'm not saying he hates it. I'm not saying he doesn't like it. But if you're sitting here not playing, you're watching your team underachieve without you, and you're getting it out there, this is the happiest time of your life, can you really honestly say that he loves basketball then?
Listen, people, if you make it to the NBA, to the NFL, to whatever sport, you obviously – will love the sport, of course. But this is a sliding scale, to your point, Don. Does he love the game more than you do? He does. Does he love the game more than LeBron James? No, he does not. I think that's a fair way of looking at it. It's hard to accept at this point, with all the different reasons Kyrie's been out, that he's passionate about the game in the way that some players are. I think he loves it. And I think it's a way to earn money and have a living. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think people say that to be nice.
Just strange that jumped out at me. I mean, the plant-based stuff, oh, okay. I'm not smart enough to understand.
No, I'm sure that's a thing. I've heard that. That seems like something that I can wrap my mind around. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I get that maybe somebody is a little bit more health conscious and feels more with something that's plant based. Okay. But the happiest, you know, he's ever been. Do you care about KD? Do you see what he's going through?
I feel such guilt that I wolfed down a beautiful steak on Saturday night. Nothing plant based about that. I feel awful.
Now you're just rubbing it in the face.
That's
of,
not
of
nice.
Vegetarians. Now you're just.
I'm not rubbing it in the face.
Now you're just a meat taunter.
A meat taunter.
Well, I didn't say it. Michael, that's exactly what you were doing right there.
I said, I feel guilty now. I wasn't rubbing it in anybody's
face.
Oh,
you're saying you do feel guilty
I
now.
Feel guilty now that I inhaled a steak.
Yeah, but
I don't have that same thought
but
process.
But nobody knew you had it.
You just
why did you bring it up?
The people like that served it
to yes me. If Yes just showed a picture of you carving into a steak, you'd say, boy, I feel guilty now that I had that steak. Nobody knew you had the steak except the person that served it to you.
I've got to tell you one thing. Again, totally lifting the curtain.
Wow.
Today is the one day in the 20 years, right, that I almost picked up the phone and said, I can't do the show today.
Oh,
not because of health. Just was not in the right headspace. I don't even know why. Furious at so many things, and I said, I'm not in the right mindset to do a show.
That's
and
unbelievable.
Have fun. Yeah, it really is. I said I can't do that. It's an important day in the book. I can't do that, and I didn't. But it was the closest I ever came to calling you two guys and say I can't do the show. That I just can't.
Now, is it anything we can relate to?
No. Well, yeah, you can.
But Peter it's can. Not anything we've done. It's not anything the
no.
station did.
No. Nothing. Okay. Nothing. It's life.
Well, I got to say, unless you said that to kind of show off. Has not shown up in the first hour and a half of the show. So good.
Well,
job.
I mean, I've given takes that Peter's sick of. People well, jumping me about the Lewis Riddick take.
It was, listen, we have to own our mistakes. And that was a tough one.
It's not a mistake. I don't think it's. And I'm not saying he'd be a bad candidate. I'm just saying I just love how everybody uses
him
as a default candidate.
No, the Orlovsky comparison was rough.
But that, maybe I just said it the wrong way. I'm saying the lunacy of. Let's get Dan Orlovsky. Let's get Ryan Clark. Let's get Rex Ryan.
But we've already proven to you why that was a bad comparison.
Okay, but I didn't say get Dan Orlovsky to be the GM. I was just saying let's just pick another broadcaster. That's the only reason that most of the people are saying getting Lewis Riddick have no idea that he has a front office background. They know he's on Monday Night Football.
Oh, well, you didn't say that part.
I think most people that suggest Lewis Riddick are suggesting him because of his background.
Certainly.
Because why would Lewis Riddick stand out above everybody else? No offense to Lewis. He does a terrific job. But, you know, why would he be, of all the analysts, be the guy you threw out there unless you know he's got a background and wants to do it?
No, because you know he wants to do it. He said it. He articulated it. And he was very disappointed when he didn't get the Giant job.
Listen, I'm just glad you're here.
Yeah,
and I
wouldn't have taken that call, to be honest with you, Mike. I would have said, you know what, suck it up and work.
That's why I didn't make the call. That's why I didn't make the call. If this was Thursday, I would not be on the air. My goodness.
The book ends Wednesday?
Yeah, sure. Last day is Wednesday.
Life changes after Wednesday, by the way.
Yeah, everybody can take a deep breath.
I'm doing the show nude after Wednesday.
I do well.
Well, you've got Dennis the Menace's T-shirt on now. What's the difference between that and nude?
Wow.
I've never seen you wear a shirt like that. A horizontal striped T-shirt. It's hideous.
It's not a T-shirt. It's not a T. It's
what
a sweater.
Is it? Is that a sweater?
Oh, maybe you're not well.
But you got your sleeves rolled up. The way you're hunched over, it does look like a short sleeve.
It doesn't show. It looks like a short sleeve shirt.
I'm not wearing a short sleeve horizontally striped shirt.
Well, because it was very warm today. It was unseasonably warm.
Well, I'm not doing the show outside, but it's just a sweater. Yeah.
The college football cesspool continues to churn. You see what Miami did? Miami had a coach in place, right? Under contract. And while he was still coaching, Manny Diaz is his name. They went to Mario Cristobal, the coach of the Oregon Ducks, and tried to get him to leave. So, and they didn't fire Manny Diaz. They just left him hanging in the lurch and went after a coach that was under contract. So what happened was they hired Cristobal. He leaves Oregon, getting a contract in the $8 million a year range, and Miami is paying the $9 million buyout at Oregon. It just never ends. What kind of sport is this? And how do the ADs allow it? How do the presidents of the university allow it when you've got a guy under contract and you're going after a guy also under contract? How is that honorable?
Well, it's not honorable, that's for sure, but it goes on. So I guess since everybody does it, they figure we could do it too. I was just thinking while you were telling that story, let's say Jeff Van Gundy was a former college football coach.
Okay.
He couldn't possibly get away with saying, well, somebody, so-and-so has that job. It wouldn't be right to talk about it. Why not? you could take the job from him before he even knows he got fired. In college football, there's no honor among thieves.
And I don't feel that bad for Manny Diaz either, because he left the Temple job to get the Miami job. I think he had it for 3 weeks, never even spoke to the kids. So, again, it's just this never-ending cycle of nonsense. And so they just gave Lane Kiffin a 10-year extension at Ole Miss. Let's all bet our life savings that he doesn't remain there for 10 years, that the first big job that opens up, he leaves. These extensions they give the coaches just for the coaches. You want to break it? You break it. Go. It's all good.
I'm surprised they even bother with contracts.
Yeah, just make it a bacchanal. Make it like a coaching orgy. Everybody in different parts of the room. Go grab a coach.
Excuse me?
Can you imagine?
So one other thing to you, Peter. So you got me hooked on Succession, right?
Oh, the best.
You tell me one redeeming character in that show. One good person in that show. And don't tell me Greg Egg. He's not either.
No, Greg's not good.
Nobody's good.
That's not the point of the show. Yeah, no one's particularly good. I mean,
there's nothing to really... I mean, even in The Sopranos, you kind of rooted for Tony.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I personally root for Shiv, but she's not great either.
No, she's a schemer.
And Kendall's not bad. Kendall's got problems, and he's unsure of himself. But, like, Kendall's not, I think, a totally morally bankrupt person.
Kendall is the best of the group.
Yeah,
and he's
problem.
Awful.
I haven't seen the show, but you guys talked about it a lot. It's exactly the same as The Sopranos. There was nobody to root for. Even Tony, you shouldn't have rooted for. He was still a reprehensible human being. He's a murderer.
You're right. But people did root for him. I don't think anybody's rooting for
anybody. They did. I'm sure in this show they do too, because there's the lesser of two evils, but they're all evil.
They are all evil.
I did finally finish the Woke up this morning book. It is very good.
Really?
Did you finish it?
No.
It's terrific.
I haven't had time to read.
I now moved on to the Andrew
headspace.
McCarthy book.
Andrew Keeping McCarthy, the actor?
Yes.
Why are you wasting your time on that? How does that further
your... He's from Westfield, New Jersey. He's a local guy. He's been in a lot of good movies I like.
How does that further your life if you know everything about Andrew McCarthy?
I would think if I could read the Booger book, then Andrew McCarthy would be an upgrade.
It might be. This is not the craziest book he's ever read.
Come on, he's been in some great movies. Weekend at Bernie's, Sandlot's Fire, Pretty in Pink.
I know his filmography. I'm just saying it's going to take you time to digest this. For what? To what end?
I don't know. Why do anything? Honestly, you're watching Succession. How is it going to forward your life?
What is it? Succession? It doesn't. It fills up some of my time.
Well, that's all a book does.
I mean,
fills up some of my time.
Succession's a really smart show, though. It
and you can see the machinations of, I don't know, this family kind of, I don't know, Peter, it kind of parallels another pretty famous real family.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Not knowing, not having seen the show, I'm kind of left wanting.
People think it mirrors the Rupert Murdoch family.
You think that's the one?
Is that what? Oh, you didn't think that?
Yes, I did, but I wasn't going to say it.
Why? Well, now it's said.
What am I hiding from the Murdochs? We don't work.
You should
Fox.
Be.
They know the show exists.
Unbelievable. Ryan Hurley, our Pinhead PD, said we should start a Don's Book Club.
No, I'm going to do. I'm going to tweet out all the books I've read during the pandemic.
I don't think people want to know that.
Well, then scroll
why
down.
You do, why don't you do the top? Why don't you do the top five tomorrow? No, Thursday. Do the top five books you've ever read.
I'm not sending it to your house, and you got to sign for it.
No,
I'll tweet it out. If you're not interested,
don't you
just scroll down.
Here's a good idea. You do the top five books you've ever read. We'll do it at 6:30 on Thursday.
Holy crap!
I'm off on Thursday.
You're off this Thursday?
Yes. Declan's got a recital, and I wanted to go, and it's the day after the book, so why not?
Wow.
Look at you. Good for you, Don. Good for you.
So I don't take a day off when I'm in a terrible mind space, headspace, whatever, and you're just going for your nephew's recital. Okay.
By the way, I have never in my entire life known someone who takes more credit for not taking off than Michael. Don, what would you say? It's every 3 weeks that he says, I was going to call in today. I was on. I was almost in an iron lung.
Yeah, but
this is the first time ever that it's because I didn't feel like I
felt
like you've never used
I was so angry today about things that I would probably say stuff on the air that I regret, and I probably have already.
But Don, fine, it's a different version, but it's the same thing.
You have some nerve. The personal issues you've taken on the air, don't even go there.
Wait, are you comparing?
Wait a minute.
Are you comparing my divorce to you being in a bad mood today?
What did he just
Are you out
do?
Of your You know what? Take the rest of the day. You're out of your mind today.
I'm not out of my mind.
I worked. And I worked.
Yeah, I know you worked, and I turned toward you, and you'd be crumbled over there.
If this were a hockey game, you just took a game misconduct.
I mean, you're not.
We're sending
because he's
you
acting like
you're
he
done.
Can't take personal issues on the air. We're human beings.
I didn't say that. All I said was, you, more than anyone else I've ever worked with, goes, I shouldn't be working today, but I am. We've made this joke before. You'd be like a quarterback just every Monday. Hey, guys, I had no business being out there, but I'm a hero. I did it. I did it again. That's what you do.
You know what? I can honestly, you are not a friend. You've never been a friend. You're not supportive, and you can go take a walk. We'll be back right after this on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Very interesting study today in the journal Natural Aging. I don't know if you guys saw this, but after a study of 7.2 million U.S. adults, taking Viagra cuts the risk of Alzheimer's by up to 69%.
Whoa.
Not bad, right?
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Wait, can you say that one more time?
Taking Viagra cuts the risk of developing Alzheimer's by 69%.
Well, okay, there's a lot to get into about this. But we'll do it another time.
98.7 ESPN is giving away up to $2,000 every week this football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. We mentioned this earlier. Kemba Walker spoke for the first time since being demoted. He has been very, very quiet about it, hasn't complained about it. Even when he met the media today, he didn't, and he explained why.
Never in my life, never in my career, off the court or on the court, it has ever just been about me. It's about the team, like I said, you know, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here for my teammates. You know, I'm here to, like I said, help these guys as much as possible. I could be pissed, I could be upset, but at the end of the day, there are some young guys here, you know, who look up to me. Pretty sure they wanted to see how I reacted to the situation. And, you know, anybody on my team down the line can be in the same situation. And, you know, maybe I could be a role model in that aspect, you know.
All class. All class. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. And, by the way, since they benched him, they're 0-3.
But we haven't talked about that enough. I mean, I guess it just happened now that they're 0-3, but.
Also, they I mean, if you watch the game at all, what was it, Saturday, right?
Yeah, the day game.
They're not even trying. I mean, they got beaten by a Nuggets team that is ravaged by injuries. I think they'd lost 7 of 8. They were losing by 30 in the fourth quarter. They didn't even play Jokic in the fourth quarter. And they couldn't even hang. I think the final score was 14 points, and that was all garbage time. And, I mean, Ian O'Connor wrote a great column on Sunday. They're soft. The one thing you ever want to hear about a team, they're soft. And we've got to try harder. That even Thibodeau said it. Try harder. Derek Jeter once said, there's difference in talent, but nobody could ever take what you try away. Everybody should be able to try.
Very strange.
When does he start to feel some heat, Thibodeau?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying he should be fired, and I still think he's a great coach, but you know how it works in this town. Teams start to underachieve. Now they're under 500. You know, it all works when you're winning. When you start to lose, then, would they ever win in Chicago, Minnesota, and all that? Like, you just kind of see it coming.
Well, you know who else has to take some heat? Leon Rose.
Of course.
He had an incredible amount of money to spend, and he got Fournier, and he got a guy that's been benched now, Kemba. No. So what did you do with the money? I'm sorry. They've gotten worse by a lot. They're under 500 now. Take some calls.
Shall we?
Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum.
What's going on, Michael, Don, and Peter? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not so good after watching that Giants game. I just want to have a couple of comments about it. The big thing that I saw with it is that fourth and two on Miami's own 43, how do you not go for it? Joe Judge said on his opening press conference, this team is going to be aggressive. And I remember last year when Freddie Kitchens coached that one game, they went for it on fourth down in the red zone, and they were being aggressive. So to me, they're getting scared, and they're getting more soft than they've ever been. And I'm tired of it. I have seen, and you guys have all seen it. We know Don's been watching it for 40 years. We have seen enough football to see that people and coaches – with far less talent on paper and far more injuries and all other issues, we've seen them coach and be able to be successful and put together a product. And I'm not saying that they need to win games and they need to have a winning record, but we see significantly more competent football on a regular basis. This coaching staff needs to go. And I feel bad because I actually like the defensive coordinator, but Joe Judge has to go.
Well, you're questioning. I think there were like three different, either fourth and two, fourth and three, and they were all around the same yardage, you know, maybe the 48 of Miami. The thing that I would question, Don, and we haven't even brought it up, his use of timeouts.
Yeah.
A delay of game, to avoid a delay of game at third and 23, he took a timeout? For what? To what end?
And I know that you look at the final score, they're blown out. Listen, it's a competitive game in the fourth quarter, and there you are, you know, short a timeout. They do it all the time. I mean, you can throw away timeouts all you want in the first half. Nobody cares. Especially the way they close out halves anyway. You're probably just going to give up a touchdown or not score.
52-0 in the last 2 minutes in the first half this year.
But at the end of the game, Michael, come on. I know you got a backup quarterback, but, you know, this is not some backup quarterback to fill up the turnip truck. I mean, this is a backup quarterback that's been around for a long time. All right?
He's 6-23 lifetime.
Well, but they chose him over McCoy.
Yep.
You know, so they felt like they upgraded it. I mean, I don't know all the ramifications with the cap and all that, but they obviously felt they were better off with Glennon than they were McCoy. McCoy's 2-1 as a starting quarterback in Arizona, has a winning record as a starting quarterback, won you a game in Seattle last year, if you remember, as the starting quarterback, backing up Daniel Jones. But, you know, this is the direction you go into, but it's not some kid who doesn't know what he's doing. So, again, call timeout. Just not going anywhere. No, and it's not even imagination, just no ability. Just like I said in the beginning, I'm watching video games from now, and I'm playing a video game from 1986 when I'm watching the Jets and the Giants. And the Jets at least have an excuse. It's a young team with a first-year head coach that's trying to learn to win, and you're kind of evaluating the young talent. This was a football team, Michael, let's please not forget, was built to win with a defensive coordinator that many thought would deserve to be a head coach, with a defense that we didn't have to worry about because it was so good last year, and an offense that upgraded. And, yeah, there have been injuries, but there's injuries everywhere. Cry me a river, right? Look at all the injuries or COVID protocols and all the things that all these other teams have had to go through. And the winning teams find a way to win, and the losing teams find a way to lose.
Adam Schefter reporting after further visits with Giant doctors and specialists, Daniel Jones unlikely to play Sunday versus the Chargers. Team hopes Jones won't miss much more time, but Jake from State Farm, he was signed off Buffalo's practice squad, could be in the lineup to start Sunday because Glennon suffered a concussion yesterday.
I thought about that when they were showing him on the sidelines and, you know, and digesting the fact he was probably going to be the starting quarterback against L.A.
You see what Fox did, though? They showed him, and then they had a State Farm, State Farm is at halftime. You know, they had Jake Fromm, State Farm. Anyway, when we come back, Steve Young will join us. Maybe he knows something about Jake Fromm, State Farm. That'll be in just a moment, so stick around on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.